everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The very latest on Antonio Brown. Team USA's FIBA World Cup over. And
get the right dirt, sir.
Whether you need to apologize for shutting down an autograph request from a young fan of an opposing team. There's our panel. Let's go.
No autographs, kid.
I brought my Sharpie, Tony. I wanted your autograph.
Antonio Brown practiced with the Patriots today. Bill Belichick at a podium. Didn't say much about that. He said they're on to Miami many, many, many times. That's from the football side of it, which, honestly, we're not going to discuss too much of. Because last night's news that he's been accused of three separate incidents of sexual assault and rape. A civil lawsuit, which is a federal lawsuit. A college friend from Bible study turned trainer of Brown's, Brittany Taylor, detailing the times in question, and text messages have been released. Brown, through his attorney, denied all claims, and in that release, much detail into their relationship. Patriots released a statement saying they don't condone sexual violence of any kind. NFL will investigate. Mark Maskey reports the NFL is considering placing Brown on the commissioner's exempt list. Clinton Yates, how do you consider the news? What should the Patriots do? What should the NFL do?
There's a couple of different things to address here. Number one, as a human, as far as Antonio Brown is concerned, as far as Drew Rosenhaus is Asian is concerned, the message they're sending outward is one that is deeply troubling. The way that statement came across is one that took a page out of every single victim-blaming and rape culture situation I've ever heard of in my life, naming specifically the fact that you had been paid the most at your position in the NFL at one point, and then going on to say that you were defending not just yourself, but other pro athletes who had gotten targeted. Gross. Not the way you approached that, and is not something that in this day and age I expected, frankly, to see from such a professional outfit. Secondarily, though, if you're the Patriots, you got to think to yourself, forget about the football. You're just embarrassing us at this point. That is reason enough, in my opinion, to sit a guy down and say, you know what? We're not sure if you're ready to be a part of this franchise in the way that we need you to be. They took enough of a risk on him as a personality, considering what happened in Oakland. And for this to crop up before he even gets on the field, I would not be shocked at all if they just said, you know what? We're not having this right now. You got to take it.
So would you say you're surprised that Brown practiced today?
I am surprised that he practiced simply because it looks terrible. Belichick didn't answer any of those questions. I don't think that's the right way to do this. And overall, the NFL has an issue with this. And it's something that you think the league might have to step in on if the Patriots don't do it themselves.
Ramona Shelburne, how do you consider all this?
Well, one of the biggest factors here is the timing of all of this. Luke Walton was involved in a similar case with the Sacramento Kings right after he got hired, but that actually happened in the offseason, and so the Kings and the NBA didn't necessarily have to make these hard decisions right now. This is a civil case. It is not a criminal case, and so there has to be some level of investigation, and we're in waters right now where the NFL, where Antonio Brown, where the Patriots all have to kind of set precedent on how they want to proceed. Generally speaking, I think you sit them out until you have some clarity about the veracity of these allegations and what this really is, but they don't have that time. Week two is coming up, and so this is where I think you take the moral high ground and say, until we know, we're going to sit them down and remove this from the conversation and just focus on football and let the legal process play.
So, in a word, Ramona, how would you describe the Patriots' decision to allow Brown to practice today?
I would say disappointing. I mean, I understand that he has rights as well, and we've heard some from his lawyer. We've heard some from what his counter argument is going to be. I assume he will file a response to her brief, but until we know what his response is, I think you have to have an abundance of caution.
Woody Page, any thoughts here?
Yes, wrong is the word I would use. Don't let him practice. Make him inactive. Probably try and suspend him if you're the Patriots. Wouldn't it have been good information if Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, had told the Patriots, we're aware that a civil suit is coming, accusing him of rape? I mean, the Patriots look so awful here that they've just signed a guy. The Raiders suddenly seem like the right team in all of this by getting rid of him. Antonio Brown is just keeps on giving. Just keeps on giving. Every day there's something new involved with him. But I think if the league is going to investigate, I said earlier in the week they should investigate what happened with him signing with the Patriots. Of course they've got to investigate, but preemptively the Patriots could say, we don't want you practicing, we don't want you in the game, we'll make you inactive, we'll suspend you, and until this is all settled or at least cleared up.
Tim Kalishaw?
You know, as far as him practicing today, I would use the phrase that Bill Belichick doesn't like to use. It's the Patriot way. They're about winning football games. They're about winning championships. And the rest of it, they kind of shove aside, and they deal with it if they have to, if the league forces them to. I mean, you know, we've seen it with players. We've seen it with the other issues the team has been involved in. But as far as something Woody just said, about Antonio Brown keeps on giving, I think we should try to take all the stuff we have in our brain about Antonio Brown, all the nonsense that's led up to this, and say this is something very different. None of that other stuff was criminal activity. Mm-hmm. So if this case had come out a year ago, we would have a very, very different view of Antonio Brown being accused of this than we do now. Right now we think there's something wrong with him with all his narcissistic behavior, but it's just been too much information. We're trying to step away from it. I think this is a very different situation from everything he's been involved
in. Well said, Tim. The commissioner's exempt list. Is that not why it exists? Clint Yates, is that not where the NFL should land here?
Yeah, but for me, what the deal is that if the Patriots try to perhaps somehow recoup some money or whatever it may be, I don't think this is a contractual issue. This is one where the Patriots have to say, we believe one thing is right versus one thing is wrong, and that's why you do that, not simply because you might be able to recoup some money or whatever else the case may be.
Thanks for your thoughts on this. We move on. France 89, USA 79, 58-game international tournament winning streak over. Frank Ntilikina outscoring Donovan Mitchell, Kemba Walker combined down the stretch. And that is how the FIBA World Cup ends. Quarterfinals, game before the game, before the game. Ramona, first to you. How calamitous a loss is this for the United States?
I've been checking Frank Isola's Twitter page religiously since this morning, this waiting for him to get on the Nikhil Kinev bus right now after that game.
That too, yeah.
I think it's a bigger win for France than it is a loss for the United States. Nobody expected all that much of this team. I mean, this was not even the B team or the C team. This was like the anybody who can play team. And I think this is going to reignite the discussion that we have on who needs to play in these games. Mm-hmm. Jerry Colangelo has been on record as saying, you know what, maybe we make this the under-23 team for all the World Cup events, and we don't put pressure on the stars to play in these events, and then you can have a cohesive team that's been built up. Or they go the other way and say, you know what, you don't get to play in the Olympics and wait around for 2020 unless you put your time in and help us win in these tournaments, because these type of losses are embarrassing for USA.
So you think this makes them reassess how they make a roster.
Yep.
Woody Page, you agree with that?
Well, Ramona, they've already said in the past that if you don't play in the international competition, you can't play in the Olympics. Guess how that works out? It doesn't. They just, if you're a star, you go, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with France winning. It's okay to let other people win. But you could tell this team was already exposed in Australia when they lost to the Australians. And yes, they're losing to NBA players. Guess what? These other countries have really good NBA players. But they didn't have an inside presence. They had a guy who was a backup center in the NBA. They didn't have a three-point shooter that was any good. Guess what? They were out-rebounded. They didn't shoot three-pointers as well as France did. They didn't even shoot free throws at the end of the game that were any good. I mean, it was a team that was not very good. Next year, I assume the stars will show up, but it may be that we just send college players. But they don't stay around long enough to actually even play in international competition. I think you go to the tennis shoe companies, the sneakers, and say, you must put in your contract that these guys are going to play in international if they want to.
Oh, that's interesting. So not only do they reassess how they make the roster, you think there should be pressure from other sides of it, not just Team USA, but the shoe companies. I didn't see that coming. Tim Kalishaw, how calamitous a loss is this for Team USA?
Well, you know, it's a significant loss because it just doesn't happen. We don't pay attention to this team unless it loses. They're basically the Connecticut women. As long as they're winning and rolling along, we just kind of expect that. And then they lose, and they say, what the hell happened? But you look at the team, Harrison Barnes, the only one with Olympic experience, Chris Middleton and Kemba Walker, the only ones who've ever played an All-Star game. And, you know, as far as constructing a roster, they had three centers, Turner, Plumlee, and Brooke Lopez, and they played 16 minutes in this game against France. Maybe they need to do a better job with the players that are available of putting a team together.
And I think that Brooke Lopez, you mentioned, does have an All-Star appearance from him. How about you, Clinton Yates? How calamitous a loss is this for Team USA?
I don't think it's calamitous, but it is instructive. I mean, Tim, you say nobody pays attention to the team until they lose. Nobody really pays attention to this even if they win, which is sort of the whole problem, is that in the overall context of what USA Hoops is, what is the purpose of the program? Are we there to develop guys to become NBA superstars? Are we there to entertain the so-called USA Hoops fan? I think that's the question you've got to figure out. What are you actually trying to do? Because this tournament, the World Cup, isn't on the level of the Olympics. Look, in the game, though, France was always going to win this bad boy. They're a bred at three-point shooting team. It required a heck of an effort from Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, sure. Listen to Yates' after-the-fact analysis.
It wasn't appearing as if they were ever going to win.
All right. France all
is
the
this,
way.
Is that overall, what are you doing with the program? That's a larger question than just this one.
He's delivering it like he's first guessing this game. That's a pretty big second. France was always going to win this game? Where
if
was
you
that
were, it on.
That's what I wanted to know, Yates.
I was not on this program yesterday, Tone.
Maybe tweet it out. Give it to the people a little bit. Anyone want to finish up here? An obituary here? Last rights here on Team USA, Ramona first and then Woody.
Yeah. By the way, they might lose again. They have to play Serbia in the next round.
In the fifth
Serbia
place game.
Was supposed to be their biggest threat. Yeah.
Do we really need fifth place games, by the way?
Not at this level.
Woody, I'm gonna give you a chance here so you don't finish fifth on the show. Last word, go ahead.
As someone who was around Fournier, Clinton, France wasn't supposed to win this game. Have you ever watched Fournier play? And he was the star of the game.
Et ils ont gagné, Woodrow.
Woody's in the lead with 8. Ramona Shelburne, 7. Tim Kalishaw, 5. Clinton Yates. You always knew Clinton Yates was gonna have 4 points at the end of the first word.
Yes, you.
Fire still next.
So mad. From the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Foul ball off the kneecap. And that is how Christian Yelich's superb season and maybe his MVP run ends. 329, 44 home runs, 1-1 OPS, 7-1 WAR, franchise record for weighted runs created plus and slugging and home runs per at bat, among others. Ramona, does this take Yelich out of MVP? Does this take the Brewers out of the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's far more damaging for the Brewers than it is for Christian Yelich's MVP candidacy. Yeah. And that's coming from somebody out here in Los Angeles who gets to watch Cody Bellinger every night. Yelich's stats are just better than Bellinger's. He's the best player on a far worse team. And I don't know that it hurts him necessarily, but this is a killer for the Brewers. They were just barely hanging on to that second wild card in that second wild card race, and I don't see how they
were a game back in the second wild card, Woody Page. Is this the end of the Brewers? And what does it do to Yelich's MVP?
They actually have a pretty easy schedule down the stretch and finish with 3 games against the Rockies, who can't beat anybody. But that's a sad, sad event to watch what happened. But they'll rally around each other because we saw that after he left last night, they still won the game. Mm-hmm. So I think he's not going to have a chance to win the most valuable player. It's Bellinger. He's been the front runner all year.
Oh, so you think losing out on 2 weeks, that's it for you? That changes the MVP or at least gives it to Bellinger? How about you, Tim Kalishaw?
I think the answer to both questions is yes, unfortunately. I think yes, his MVP hopes are gone. I think Bellinger hitting the home runs, things he's doing in Dodger Stadium, and that team playing the way it is, it's going to get it to him. And I know the Brewers are close in the wild card, and it's baseball, so losing one player, teams rally, but I don't see them hanging in there. I don't think they're going to make the wild card.
And but to that point, if the Brewers don't make the playoffs, I actually think it helps Yelich's MVP case. You needed the guy in order to get to the postseason. We're talking about a dude who stole 30 bags for the team for the first time since 2012. And you had that easy schedule? Yeah, Yelich was important. This actually could help if the Brewers don't make the playoffs, which I don't think they will.
Buy or sell two. Words with your friend Jerry Jones, Tim Kalisha.
Somebody asks your opinion on whether something's done that takes two to do it. They're speaking just from their perspective. And in my mind, we were fast approaching a deal.
Tim, you're going to have to translate that for us. Jerry on his definition of the word imminent. And Dak Prescott, NFC Offensive Player of the Week, by the way, on his urgency to sign now.
I've been wearing my Jerry Dakota ring for 30 years, and even with that, it's difficult. A week ago, they signed Zeke Elliott, and he called Zeke incremental in our team's success. So you never know exactly where he's going with some of this stuff. I think he thinks it's imminent. He doesn't want to see the price of quarterbacks go up any higher. I'm not sure it can, realistically. But Dak and his agents are betting on his play and betting on his ability to stay healthy.
Right. Do you think it would behoove Dak
out all year
to sign now after the greatest week of his career?
It'd be okay, but it doesn't hurt to wait either.
Okay. Clint Yates?
I think Jerry Jones got caught off guard again. You weren't expecting Dak to come out and have such a monster performance. Now you're waffling on conference calls, just like when Zeke decided he was going to sit out 2 years before. He caught him off guard, and he was talking all this trash in Oxnard. Jerry, get your timing right, or else you're just going to end up hanging out way more money to your play.
Homo?
Yeah, incremental, instrumental, imminent. Not even close. It's all the same thing. I kind of like that Jerry was obviously just trying to mind control here. He was trying to set the negotiation here. But, look, if you're Dak Prescott, it's one thing to bet on yourself. But this is the NFL where guaranteed money matters and you can get hurt any week. Mm-hmm. It's the time to do
it. Woody Page?
As the master of gobbledygook on this program, I just heard a lot of it from Jerry Jones. And imminent means right away. It doesn't mean maybe that's my opinion. It'll happen sometime in the future. Dak should wait till the end of the year because he'll get the biggest contract. He'll be the latest highest contract.
All right, so you would, if you were advising Dak, you'd say wait a little while before you get paid. I'll remember that.
Sure,
Tim,
don't worry.
There's still more from your Cowboys. Roll tape on this one.
Oh, oh.
You're right there.
DeMarcus Lawrence's explanation. He's going to be honest with his own kids, so he's going to be honest with yours, and he'll never treat yours better than he treats his. Tim, does Lawrence owe an apology? Does he owe an explanation? Does he owe nothing for refusing to sign that autograph of the young fan with the Giants jersey?
Oh, he owes absolutely nothing. He signs a ton of autographs, does work with the Boys Club here. He doesn't owe any apologies, and that's not really a time. They're signing a lot of autographs walk into the bus, but you got to be in the right team's jersey. You don't approach a player, you know, on the Cowboys in a Giants jersey.
Ben Yates?
It's against the rules.
I'm buying Lawrence, but I'm selling the motivation of whoever the human may be that pushed that kid out there into the fray, apparently trying to create a viral moment instead of getting an autograph. It's 2019. Turn around, take a selfie with him. That's how you do it.
All right. Is Clinton Yates telling parents how to parent while not being a parent?
Well, I don't know that was his parent. I don't know
Ramona
that.
Ramona Shelburne.
It's like the Mean Joe Green commercial of this era. I love this viral thing. Yeah. And it's better than any autograph that he could have gotten from him. I don't know what the problem is.
Woody Page?
As a former kid who went to a minor league game, baseball game, when I was 9 years old and asked through the screen for a visiting player to sign my piece of paper, and he told me a noun and a verb, I still haven't forgotten that, so he should have signed. It's just a small...
Told you a noun and a verb. Okay, it could be anything, really. But I trust... You know, you had a great Bobby the Brain Heenan story. You told us before we sat down. That's on the internet. So you can click on that. That's a better story, Woody. Maybe if you said that, you'd got the points. And...
Well, I was saving it for the other media.
Yes, well, thank you very much. Paige, 600 career wins not happening today. Clinton Yates going to take a...
Shout-out to former kids.
Shout-out to all former kids. Ramona Shelburne and Tim Kalisha. Showdown in 2 minutes.
Still kids.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Ramona Shelburne, Tim Kalisha, good luck in showdown. The Dodgers clinching the NL West. For a point, anybody know how many in a row that makes it?
Seven.
Seven is correct, Ramona. Several, Tim Kalisha. Does this year feel different, Ramona?
It'll feel different in October if they actually win. But honestly, this Dodger team, if you look at them right now, I don't know that you say that they're better than the Yankees or the Astros, which has been the same case in October the last 2 years when they lost in the World Series. They weren't better.
It felt different when we saw them clinching against the Orioles. That's a little odd. But I know, I think they are a great team. Doesn't mean they'll win it. It's baseball. It's going to happen sometime. And the pitching is deeper. You know, they don't count on it. It's not Kershaw and a bunch of guys. So I think they have a great chance.
Okay. Ramona thinks there are several teams that have a better chance. I think they've got a great chance as well, Tim. We'll move on. Noah Syndergaard. The bad splits he has with catcher Wilson Ramos. He says that's on him. Comments earlier this week made people think he didn't think that was it was on him. He was livid was the word that was used. Mediate here, Tim, on personal catchers and Syndergaard's non-livid lividity.
Well, whatever he said originally, he's cleaned it up now, and that's okay. And the split that matters, unfortunately for Syndergaard, DeGrom, and all of them, is that Ramos' OPS is 250 points higher than Nito's. Ramos is going to play.
All I know is Thor is a pretty good teammate because he's trying to repair that relationship with Ramos in front of the cameras and uphold his reputation, but he clearly has an issue with him.
Tim Kalisha now out in front. Showdown 3, air conditioning issues in the LSU locker room at Texas. That's what Ed Orgeron's saying. UT says, UC was fine. Orgeron, don't worry about that. LSU band, by the way. Look at this shot. Upper deck. That's where the LSU pep band was. We know that for sure. Ramona, was a wrong committed here?
Yeah, it's so funny seeing that shot, by the way. Like, it reminds me of every fan who screams from the upper deck, thinking they're trying to taunt the other team like that quarterback can hear you. That was great gamesmanship by Texas, but there will be some.
Okay, my alma mater has had some issues with crowds not being noisy enough. They're trying to, the Minister of Culture, Matthew McConaughey, is trying to get some things going. Those are good seats for the band. As far as the air conditioning, they're from Baton Rouge. They're used to sweat. They can handle it. It's not that big a deal.
No big deal.
Gosh.
You know what? Take a FaceTime. Tim Kalisha, you earned it today.
No big deal. I'll tell you what's a big deal. Last Monday night, two nights ago on Monday Night Football, this is the 50th year of Monday Night Football, and the last time we will get to see a baseball infield in the middle of a football field, because there won't be any more Monday Night games in Oakland this year. And after this year, there won't be any more games in Oakland. Also, no more AFL stadiums, old AFL stadiums on Monday Night Football. For some of the more seasoned panelists like myself, we miss those stadiums. Love those. A fond farewell to the
Oakland. Goodbye to dirt. We'll see you tomorrow.